Working for our Lord can be compared to a race against evil. On this broadcast, Brother David Johnson will use 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8 to present a sermon entitled, Finish the Race. Our program is called Words of Life, and we are brought to you by a prayerful support of Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers. Our goal is for you to be a Christian, living faithfully to Jesus. We now praise our Lord with song. Please pray with me. Father, we rejoice in Jesus for the blessings that are ours through him. Thank you for each one of our listeners, and we ask that you will be with each of them, meeting their needs. Lord, we live in troubled times with war in various places. Please bless, and we ask that your will be done. Help us to truly trust in you, and when you have finished with us here upon this earth, please take us home to be with you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Brother David Johnson's sermon for today is entitled, Finish the Race, found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8.
Thank you for listening to these Words of Life radio broadcasts. The title for the lesson is, Finished the Race. And our primary text is taken from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verses 6 through 8 in the New Testament. Please listen to the Word of God. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Wonderful words from the Apostle Paul to his apprentice, Timothy. It's common for speculations, myths, and traditions to surround famous people. And of course, even infamous people. And this is true not only in life, but also in death. So it is about the Apostle Paul's martyrdom. Various speculations have been given about the time and circumstances of Paul's death. Those familiar with the book of Acts are curious about the ending of its last chapter, in which Paul arrives at Rome and preaches while awaiting the final verdict. The writer, Luke, wrote the final words and are found in Acts chapter 28 and verses 30 through 31. For 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. That's the end of the book of Acts. However, in our study text, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, the Apostle Paul himself wrote some of his very last words to his protege, Timothy, which we'll get to in our lesson as Paul approached his physical end on this earth. Studied speculation of Paul's circumstances by Bible scholars surmise that Paul's eventual imprisonment approximated the time of Emperor Nero's great persecution of Christians in about the year of our Lord 64. Roman history reveals that in July of that year, a fire broke out in a section of Rome's Circus Maximus, which was a chariot racing stadium and mass entertainment venue. This area would have been full of volatile materials that caused the flames to quickly spread. Added to this, probable winds would have fanned the fire throughout adjacent areas of the city. The inferno raged for 5 days, destroying 3 of Rome's 14 sectors and damaging 7 others. Nero, the Emperor Nero, was away at the time, yet he rushed back to attend to the catastrophe. A rumor circulated among the people was that Nero himself had purposely set or had someone set the blaze in order that he could then rebuild the imperial city after his own designs. Therefore, in order to stamp out the rumor, Nero plucked from the populace some scapegoats, the Christians of Rome. The Christians were already a suspect and misunderstood group. They worshipped and served Jesus Christ beneath a cloud of accusations, traitorous activities, because they rejected emperor worship, because they were antisocial in behavior, and even accused of cannibalism associated with the Lord's Supper, and the rejection of the many Roman gods. Therefore, the sect, Christians, followers of Christ, were rather unpopular and held in contempt, as Christians were deemed dispensable, disposable. As a Roman citizen, Paul escaped the usual torturous deaths of common Christians. But it is believed Paul did not escape Emperor Nero's fury. So by imperial decree, Paul probably was beheaded around the year of our Lord 68. Now let's look closer at some of Paul's last words and make application to Christians today. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. The Apostle Paul knew his time on earth was short, so he wrote to Timothy that he must carry on his work as an evangelist. As we all age, we become more and more aware of our own mortality. We too should prepare and inform our loved ones through wills, perhaps a letter, etc., to carry on without us. Already being poured out like a drink offering was Jewish imagery, which Paul used to describe that his coming death was a willing sacrifice to God. Also, the drink offering of wine expressed an ongoing fellowship with God as an act of worship. Wine represented blood, the essence of human life. By pouring wine upon the altar in sacrifice to God, it depicted a person's total dedication to God. Paul, as a drink offering, signified the pouring out of the fruit of his labors and the essence of his life. As Christians, we too should affirm our fellowship with God in holy lives, consecrated to his worship and to his service. We do not know the time of our departure from this life. Therefore, we must always remain ready in fellowship with the Lord and dedicate ourselves to his service. Paul then gave his summary personal testimony, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul's threefold statement was meant to inspire younger Timothy and certainly applies to all Christians. I have fought the good fight. Paul lived the Christian life to the fullest. Paul recognized that the genuine Christian life is a spiritual struggle. In the original Greek terms, both fight and fought come from terms in which we get our English words agonizing and agony. In the New Testament times, both words were commonly used in reference to athletic contests, such as the Greek Olympics. These terms were also used in other type struggles that involve great effort and energy whether physical or spiritual. The faithful and productive Christian life is nothing less than a fierce and relentless struggle, striving, quote, against rulers, against authorities, against powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms, end quote. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12. The faithful Christian constantly battles his own flesh, his own laziness and ignorance. Every day there are new fronts, new battles on which the struggle continues. The good fight is a noble struggle to please and bring glory to God, our Lord and Master. I have finished the race. Paul understood, as Christians today understand, that wandering off of God's course or race can be disastrous. From spiritual birth, being born again, until the time that God calls us home, we must complete the course, complete the race. The physical and spiritual life in the New Testament is referred to as a race. Christians must be faithful to the end, to finish in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1 says in part, "Let us throw off everything that hinders, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Yet, how in large measure do we Christians accomplish this finished race? The very next verse, by the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." The key word is fix. We are to stay focused on Jesus, our Lord. Thirdly, Paul wrote to Timothy, "I have kept the faith." This epitomizes what all the other phrases entail. That is, in our spiritual journey, our doctrine and behavior equally count to stay the course, in the truth and in integrity, with God's help along the way. Paul then summarized the end result. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. "Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing." The Apostle Paul knew, as should all Christians, that a far, far more glorious life is to come after our departure from this current life in our mortal bodies, when God puts on us immortality, imperishability, forever with the Lord. Crown of righteousness. Crown has the literal meaning of surrounding and was used of plaited wreaths or garlands that were placed on the heads of dignitaries, military victors, and winners of athletic competitions as a mark of great honor. Regarding athletic competitions, as medals are placed around the necks of Olympic champions today. Paul used this imagery in reference to the reward of righteousness that believers will receive when Christ returns. Though an individual receives the righteousness of Christ when he is born again, this righteousness is not fully righteous realized until the day of his appearing. Legally, before the holy God, believers are declared righteous. As Christ's righteousness is credited to us through saving faith in him and his work on the cross on our behalf. However, literally, believers await Christ's return when they will personally experience the reward of his total righteousness, usward, body, soul, and spirit, in perfection, as sin will be eliminated, erased. And that comes at our glorification as believers in Christ Jesus. This great future urged Paul on through persecutions, through loneliness, through hardships and disappointments, as it can all believers. For all persevering believers who have staked their lives on Christ's return, that day promises a supernatural uniting with Jesus Christ personally. There is joy now in anticipation, by faith, of being with him face to face. What an awesome thought. Face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. In the meantime, our responsibility, the Christian's responsibility and accountability, is to finish the race in faithfulness to him who died for us that we might live for him. And so I ask you, dear listener, how is your race going?
Whoa!
Brother David Johnson's sermon today has challenged us. We pray that you are a Christian, actively serving our Lord. If you have not made the decision for Jesus, please understand that you must first truly believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Savior, the Son of God. We are shown in the Word of God that believers also repented of sins, confessed Jesus as Savior, and were baptized by immersion in water. If we can help you, please contact us. To receive a free CD of this and last week's program, ask for broadcast 2404. That's 2404. Why not write to us today? It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.